Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 124 on February 1st, 2016. So hey, the first announcement that I have is yes indeed, the forum is up and running. It is a rudimentary forum. I love big words. Rudimentary is a good one for the forum. Not a lot of bells and whistles, but it's basic, it works, we can talk to each other, it's awesome. And it's right there on my website. So let me give you some instructions on how to do this, because you do need to register to be able to participate in the forum. So there's going to be a link in the Linkorama, of course, to the forum, but also it's kind of duplicating everything, because in the upper left-hand corner of my website, there is writing that says forum. There is a link right there, and it's right underneath the little inkwell and feather. So if you click on that, it will take you to the forums. But before you do that, you need to register. How do you register? In the bottom left-hand corner of the screen, every screen, it'll say log in, and then right underneath that, it'll say register. So if you click on that, it will ask you a few questions. Now, one of the questions it's going to ask you is your first and last name, as well as a username. So when you put the first and last name in, don't use your real name, because here's the glitch that we're trying to fix right now. It defaults to your first and last name as opposed to the username. Now you can change that really, really quickly. The very first time that you log in and post something, all you have to do is click on your name there in the post and you can fix that. It will give you a drop-down menu on the edit, and it will let you choose your username instead of the first and last name. So that's an important thing to do the very first time that you post, definitely. And we're trying to make it so that it defaults to the username, clearly. That would be the best. So for any of you who have already registered, clicking on your name will present the options, and edit is at the bottom. There you'll find a drop-down menu, and you can change that yourself. If you have any difficulties at all, please email me. Also, I had to put a spam filter in because I got overwhelmed with spam registrations. So occasionally some of you who try and register are going to get rejected and told that, you know, you're a bot or something like that. But it does give you the option to request an allow. And what that means is I just clear your name and say, yes, this is a real person. So if you do have trouble, please do take that option, because I would love to have you participating in the forums. And I'm sorry that the spam filter is a little tedious, but wow, as soon as that forum went up, I got anywhere between 30 and 50 spams a day of fake registrations. So it was definitely something that was necessary. But I'm happy to see that there's already a bunch of participation. And one of the people that participated said, you know, this is a place where I can talk freely and really be myself. And that's exactly what I want that forum to be. It is a place you can come and talk all about your love of pegging, your secret desires that have to be hidden from everybody else, and you can really be yourself. That's the whole point. There are sections there for everybody, meaning if you're bisexual, there's a section there, or bi-curious, either one. And there's a pegging unkinked as well as a kinky pegging. So for those of you who mix a little bit of kinky stuff in there, that's awesome. And for you who are really more sensual peggers, there's a section there for that too. I'm pretty sure I covered everything. I do need to add in a frequently asked questions, or basically a place to ask for help. Maybe a help section that would be a good one to add. But I'm really excited because it's kind of consolidating everything into the same place on my website, and it's kind of a no-brainer. I think I should have done this a long time ago. I'm hoping to get more bells and whistles as time goes along, so that maybe we can use a little bit of HTML and things in our posts, or I don't think that you have the capability of actually communicating with each other. So that's something else that I have to do, because I have a personal ads section. Why wouldn't I? I don't think that personal ads do that much good, but who knows? If there's ever been a place where two people who really love pegging could hook up, maybe it's on Pegging Paradise, right? The chances that people are going to be there leaving personal ads in the same place, in the same state, in the same country even, are maybe not so good, but I'm willing to put a space there for anybody that wants to put ads up. That's fine with me. However, clearly you need to be able to communicate with each other for these ads to work. I have not found an option to do that, to send direct messages to other participants in the forum. So I'll make sure that that is on the list of the wish list of to-dos for my web guy. And we're off and running with the forum. So I'm just really excited. In fact, I have an erotica section and I've already had a contribution. You guys really need to go and read it because it's fucking hot, right? It's not only fucking hot, it's written with a vulnerability and a romantic sort of tilt to it, which is remarkable because a man is writing it, right? So yes, go read it. I loved it. In fact, I loved it so much, I put a link to it up on Twitter and directing people there to read it because it's pretty damn good. Anyway, what else? Maybe we should jump into the letters at this point. Yes. Now, as you know, I had a podcast some time ago where I invited all the women to write in and tell me their stories. That was podcast number 115. So for any of you listening, if you would like to hear a podcast, if you're a newcomer to this podcast and you would like to hear an entire podcast, all of women's stories of how they came to pegging, what they love about it, erotic stories about it, all done by women, then go to podcast number 115 because that is the deal. So I did post a request for stories and I'm still actually getting a few here and there, even though the podcast happened some time ago. So I share those with you as I find them. This was in my pegging101.com website and here is a story that someone left. One time after I randomly dry bumped my boyfriend and became extremely excited and wet, he approached the subject of pegging. I was curious and said I would like to try it. I was obviously excited by it. He revealed he had a strap on. I later bought a double for us to use. He asked if I wanted to try now. I agreed and I absolutely loved it. Now she wrote loved it all in caps with exclamation points. The first time I couldn't figure out how I could orgasm with the strap on when there was no vaginal penetration. I orgasmed harder with the strap on than the double. And I think what she means by that is she orgasmed harder with the single than with the double. We have since tried various positions and each one has proved to be as good as the last. I am submissive during sex, but when I have on my cock, I feel confident, and I cannot describe the intense connection I experience when I am in him. It is the most amazing feeling to come together while in opposite roles. Wow, that was very eloquently phrased, come together while in opposite roles. Because really, that's exactly what you're doing with the whole opposite roles. I love that it was so good for you the very first time, and how interesting that you actually orgasmed harder with the regular strap on than the double. I'm assuming that you use the harness with the double, but I don't really know, because sometimes if you try and use the double without a harness, it can be very, very hard, as I've talked about endlessly on this podcast. So if you tried to do that, maybe that was why the orgasm wasn't as intense. Anyway, I really appreciate you writing that story and sharing it with us, because that those last few lines are just something that so many women would benefit from hearing, women who are interested in pegging. I am submissive during sex, but when I have on my cock, I feel confident and I cannot describe the intense connection I experience when I'm in him. It is the most amazing feeling to come together while in opposite roles. Ooh, ladies, listen to that, because that is such an amazing description. For those of you who normally take on the submissive role and are really detracted from the idea of doing pegging because you can't see yourself as being dominant. This lady isn't dominant except when she puts on the cock. And, you know, you may not be dominant when you put on the cock, and there are ways around that as well, but I just thought that was something for all the ladies to perk up and listen to. So thanks for that comment. I appreciate you sharing your story. Okay, this one was left on my Pegging 101 website, and it was under the article, Her Strap-On Fears. And this guy sounds a little down, he says, perfect, just what I needed to hear. My wife doesn't want me to see her wear it, despite me saying how hot it would be. She's embarrassed but willing to have another go after 18 months since the first time. So I'm assuming that first comment was sarcastic, because I do go over all of the reasons why women might be reluctant to wear a strap-on. So, you know, it can be a little discouraging, sure, but it's an interesting situation when you say that you've told her how hot it is, but she's still embarrassed. See, there's a lot of emotional and psychological stuff, I think, that happens when you switch up these gender roles and you strap on a cock and all of a sudden you feel really awkward, you feel really embarrassed. And until you can get comfortable with it, and certainly I think that the comments and reassurances of your partner will go a long way towards helping you, helping a woman become comfortable wearing a strap-on. But until she does become comfortable, it's really hard to just, you know, stride on out there wearing it and just be okay with the whole thing. So it does take time sometimes. And I'm glad to hear she's willing to have another go at it, because 18 months is a long time to wait since the first time. So I wish you the best of luck, sir. Please let us know how it goes. This was an email I received. I have been a closet wannabe Peggy for years. I listen to your podcast for the ladies. I don't know where to start, but I will use the resources on your site to explore possibilities where I may be able to find women who like to play with strap-ons. I love you and what you are doing. I am currently single, so I intend to look for someone who wants this. Of course, it's important to find someone I like and love first and foremost. Thanks, Ruby. Wow, so you found the For the Ladies podcast and listened to that and have not had a partner yet. That's a lot of information, a lot of great information for you to have in your search. And so the advice I would throw out there, even though you really didn't ask for any, in terms of finding a woman who enjoys this kind of thing, when you're dating and you are looking for a woman who is really sexually open-minded, clearly, one of the things you want to do right off the bat is throw your kink cards down on the table pretty quickly. Because if you wait until you are involved with this woman, you've had sex with this woman, and you're starting to become emotionally involved with her, and then you throw the kink cards on the table, it's a lot to risk. And the further you go before you tell her about your kinks, then the more involved you are and the more you're risking when you tell her what's happening underneath the surface, right? So throw your kink cards right down on the table. One of the ways I have found that it's pretty easy to do that, actually, is on OkCupid. I know that there's people on OkCupid that don't ever look at the answers to things and to the questions, and it just kind of blows my mind, because you can learn so much about someone by looking through their answers, and they make it really easy for you. You can select all of the questions where they have given an answer that is unacceptable to you. That's a really easy way to screen people out. But there is also a Chrome add-on that is called OkCupid for the non-mainstream user. I highly recommend it for anybody who uses the Chrome browser, because what you can do is choose categories that are important to you. And I've talked about this before, but it really bears repeating, because I think the OkCupid model is pretty damn good, right? Pretty damn good. So give it a try, sir, but definitely, even if you don't get on the dating sites and you are just dating, finding women wherever, of course you're going to look for a woman who is sexually open. And there are a number of ways that you can kind of ascertain that. You're not looking for someone really conservative. You're looking for someone who is very open and with their sexuality. And a lot of times people like that are just going to be more comfortable around swear words, you know, talking about their desires, things like that. So soon as that starts happening and you're dating this person, really quickly throw those kink cards down on the table and let her know that this is something that you enjoy and want, or that you think you will enjoy and that you really want to explore, that it's a priority for you. Because that way, it's boom, it's done. If she is really freaked out about it, then she's gone and you're off looking for the right woman instead of getting involved with the wrong one. Good luck to you. And oh, by the way, you can come and put an ad on my personal ad section on my forum if you want. It's brand new. You will be the first ad, sir. But you know, we have to start somewhere, and who knows? The unbelievable may happen, and you might meet the love of your life on the Pegging Paradise personal ad section. I toy around with the idea of having a dating site on Pegging Paradise one of these days. I'm not sure if I'll ever do it, but for now, the personal ad section is an experiment, so take advantage of it if you like, and good luck to you. Thanks for writing in. The next letter here I got on my Pegging 101 website, and this was in response to my article, The Truth About Strapless Strap-Ons. Hello, I'm thinking about buying either the Strap U revolver or the Toy Joy Fieldo style. The Fieldo is about an inch longer, but the revolver seems to have a longer end for the wear. I'm a guy and I want to try wearing it on myself. Okay, wow, there's a lot of information there. First of all, I looked up the two toys. The Strap U revolver is made out of TPR, which is thermoplastic resin. This is not a good toy material. This is porous, and so you will be unable to completely sterilize that toy. And if any part of it is going to be going inside of you, then yeah, you need to be able to sterilize it, definitely. So TPR is not a good choice. The other toy you talked about is actually made, they say it's made out of rubber jelly. Okay, don't really know exactly what they mean by that. I do know that rubber is porous, so it has the same problem as TPR. And if they mean jelly like the manufacturers who make jelly toys really mean jelly, then it's actually toxic and has phthalates in it, which are things that can leach out of the toy and into your system. So that's a no-go as well. Those are very cheap toys. They're very low-quality toys. So I suggest that you save up your money and get something much better. Now, 100% silicone is what you should be looking for. You mention the very last part of it, that this is something you want to wear yourself. Now, I'm guessing that what you mean by that is that you want to take the bulb and put it in your anus, and then so you've got your cock and you have the cock end of the double. So maybe you're going to try double penetration on your partner. That's my first assumption, is what you mean by that sentence. But the other thing that you could mean is that you're just going to use it on yourself. And I don't think that's what you mean, but if you do, the doubles are actually a really good toy for guys who want to have a toy to fuck themselves with, because that bulb that usually goes inside the woman's vagina acts as an excellent handle. So there's that, if that's what you mean. So I'm kind of a little bit confused, but if what you mean is to you actually want to wear it and put it in your ass, then you definitely need a 100% silicone toy, no matter what. But I have heard mixed results from trying that. I've heard some men say, yes, you can pull it off. It's difficult, but you can do it. And I've had other men say, yeah, it's too difficult and that it's really a hard thing to do and it didn't work very well and they don't recommend it. So if that's what you're trying to do, then I wish you luck. And I'm going to put a link to the Fuse Tango, which is the very best double that I recommend. And it also has a vibe option. So if there's any kind of vibing in there that you want to try out, that is also included in that toy. I'll put that in the linkorama for you. And let us know how it goes. Thanks for writing in and asking that question. So this letter I actually got on my forum just a little while ago. I really need some advice on how to succeed with my wife. We have spoken about pegging, and she knows that I'm interested in it. I've given her the link to episode 112 for the ladies. She's played with fingers on occasion, but only when I have begged for it. We have tried light BDSM, mostly flogging. She loves to get flogged, but seems not that into flogging me. Now to my thoughts. How about if I dominate her? Maybe some flogging and having my time with her, and then put the harness on her and put her on her back and take care of myself in a dom situation. Because she has said that she would peg me in the future, but that was a couple of months ago, and she hasn't made an advance, and every time we talk, it gets postponed. Okay, there's a couple of ways to approach this. You could definitely do it your way. I don't know if you guys have an existing subtle or not so subtle dynamic of her being submissive and you being dominant. It is typical to have that subtle dynamic in typical heterosexual relationships. Much more often, the woman tends to want to be more submissive and the man tends to want to be more dominant. So if that subtle overlay is there in your relationship already, it's possible that she's not really feeling dominant enough to pull this off. But see, there's all kinds of different reasons why she could be not doing it. She could be not doing it because she's scared of strapping on a cock and it's going to look funny, or it's going to affect her femininity and you won't ever see her the same way again. She might be afraid of going forward with this idea because she has no idea what she's doing and she's a little overwhelmed at the prospect of trying something that is so foreign to her. She might be afraid of this because she suspects that if she does something with you that it's going to make you gay. See, there's so many different things. So really, again, communication is the answer. And communication is the answer in a lot of these situations. Ideally, you can sit down with her and say, okay, so I've asked for this thing, and you've seemed like you've been on board a bunch of times, but it just always gets postponed, and it never gets followed through, and I would like to try and figure out why. And I would like to ask you to please tell me if you have any fears about doing it, any back off on doing it, any things that are freaking you out about the idea, because it's really, really something that I want. So because it's something that I really, really want, I would like to talk with you about what is stopping you from going forward with this. And I want to reassure you that I care about your feelings. I care about your concerns. I want to work them out with you. I want to take you seriously. And if we can talk about these things, perhaps we can work it out and move forward with it. So that's the point at which you can begin talking about what it is that's causing her to stop and not go forward with this. Many times in this situation as well, it's so hard for you to continue asking, and I've gone through this over and over again on these podcasts as well. It's so hard for the man to continue asking because it's a really, really difficult thing to ask for, period, that, you know, once he's gotten it out, he just sits back and prays that she will take the ball and run with it because that would be awesome. And sometimes that's not what happens because of all those fears or concerns that she may have. So she doesn't take the ball and run with it. He's afraid to ask again because it was so hard to get those words out the first time, right? And then you guys are at a stalemate. And it's not that either one of you are dead set against doing this. Clearly, the man wants it and the woman is open to it, but is kind of freaked out maybe and needs a little conversation reassurance. So communicate with each other. Try and ferret out whatever it is that's causing her to have the back off. You can also kind of stack the deck before you have that conversation and make it one of these amazing nights where you paint the picture yourself because you know what she likes. Cook her dinner, give her a massage, do whatever. So that would be one way to deal with it. Now, back to what you suggested in the beginning about the dominant and submissive thing, okay? We started off there and I never finished that concept. You could certainly do that if you have a sort of an underlying dominant and submissive dynamic already, which it sounds like you've edged into a little bit with the flogging. It's awesome to know that she likes that. So she sounds to like an open-minded partner, which is awesome. So you can do that. You can actually turn her over on her back and tie her to the bed. And you can blindfold her and then, you know, tie her arms up first, blindfold her, and then you can put the harness on her, right? Might be a little tricky to get it on her, depending on what kind of harness you have. If you have a panty-style harness, it could be pretty easy to slide that on, right? And then tie her legs. And if she's kind of going, what is going on here? You could put a gag in if you wanted to. There's so many different things you could do. Or you could just laugh and say, yeah, we're going to try something new and you don't have anything to say about it. You're just going to lay here and take it because this is in my control now. And ride her and satisfy yourself. So there's lots of possibilities along that end. And if you think that she would respond well to that, then go for it. But if you think that there's enough back off that she has about this whole concept that she might feel a little tricked, betrayed, you know, there might be a negative reaction, really good to talk to her first about it as opposed to spring it on her. Because if you kind of spring it on her and she doesn't have, you guys don't have that underlying dom-sub dynamic already, then yeah, it could backfire. But it really sounds like, you know, you've already got your foot in the door and you just need to talk. I think it might be a good idea to schedule it, you know, but definitely try the communication. And please let me know when I can play that music for you. Okay. This was a comment left on my Pegging 101 website with the article, Do Women Love Pegging? I'm a guy, and a masculine one at that. I'm just average looking, but I've had a gay man or two make a pass at me over the years. I found myself slightly tempted because I was always curious about anal play, but never took the bait because I'm just not sexually attracted to men. I know there's many who think strap-on play means you must want the real thing, but I'm here to say no, it doesn't always mean we're closet gays. The first time I tried strap-on anal was just on a hookup with a woman who had dominant desires, and I agreed to try since I was curious. I was surprised to find I really got off on giving up the power, although it was somewhat rushed and therefore uncomfortable. But I knew I wanted to try again, so I started seeking a dominant woman with this in mind. I met an African-American woman who was a little younger than me, but still in her 40s, who had always wanted to do this. Though we did not last long term, we dated for a while and explored together. The first night started out with some basic dom-sub role play. She really got off on the role reversal, and so did I. And though it was unspoken, I think she also might have gotten off on having a white man sub as well. The second night, she decided it was time to peg. She already had a strap-on, which she hadn't used yet. Her ex was not into it, apparently. And then we went out shopping together to an adult store and found some lube. Our foreplay was extensive and focused on me trying to pleasure her every way possible. I am just a guy who really gets enjoyment from giving sexual pleasure, to the point where I don't always even care if I get off or not. Anyway, when we got around to the pegging, it was amazing for me. She fucked me for what seemed like an hour in several positions, and the one I liked most was doggy style bent over the bed. A couple times she got lost in the pleasure and really pounded me, and while there was some discomfort during this, the thrill of seeing her getting into it so much made it totally enjoyable. The second time she pounded hard was at the end, and I could literally feel her torso quiver with the orgasm. Afterward, she told me she got off on both the power thrill and the stimulation of her clit from the motion of fucking me. It's hard to find the right words for how exciting this was, that she had actually gotten a physical orgasm from the act. We continued to date for a little while, but did not last for reasons other than the sex, but she left me even more hungry to seek more of this. From this point forward, I can't imagine having a relationship without pegging and submission being an integral part of it. It's not always easy to find women who want to do this, but I know they're out there, so I'm actively looking. Love the column, and thanks for letting this growing community share stories. Stepping over that line into knowing that this is an integral part, those two things are an integral part of what you are looking for in a relationship. I know that feeling because when I've realized a few things that I need to have on my list of a partner that I'm looking for, it makes things easier to kind of sort through the different people as I meet them. But it's a little discouraging sometimes because of narrowing your choices, I guess. On the other hand, that discouraging part is so overwhelmed. No, not overwhelmed. It's so, the word that comes to mind is ameliorated because I love big words. It's really quite ameliorated by just that it's a self-confidence. It's like, I know what I want and I'm going to go for it. And I love that. So especially I enjoy it when a man who loves pegging and has decided he also loves submission knows that and embraces it, goes for it, looks for the woman who matches with that. So good for you that you know what your kink is, you found it, you're embracing it, and you're going to go for it and find the right woman who matches with you. It's so sad when I hear stories of men who have these leanings and have these desires and perhaps have even experienced them before like you have, but they stuff them away again because it's so hard to find a woman who is kinky, who will embrace these and who will do the things that they really enjoy. And they settle for a relationship with a partner who's not kinky, and then they just keep dreaming about it and fantasizing about it and watching the porn and sometimes going out and satisfying that itch with professionals. So good for you that you are looking for that for your primary relationship because you know what you want. You're going to go out and get it. I support you 100%. Great story about feeling what that was like to nice descriptions. Thank you for sharing that. This is an email. Ruby, my wife and I dove headlong into ass play this week. It's been a long time and long unexpressed fantasy of mine, and I finally asked her if she would do it after she brought up a pegging video she had seen Monday morning. That night, she fingered my ass for a good hour and a half. I had a dry orgasm, and then the most elating and heady, mind-blowing, and euphoric feeling passed through my whole body. I literally felt detached from time and space. It was incredible. This happened several times. I had no idea of the emotional charge that awaited me from this experience. The sense of intimacy was incredible, and even our first time, I was completely open to her and the experience. It definitely helps to have a healthy and open sexual relationship. We have set the date to try pegging, which we are both positive we will love, for the first time for our anniversary about a month from now, parentheses, yay! In our shopping list, we have a sport sheets chantilly lace harness, Tantus curve, and the Fuse Tango double. Understanding that, as you put it, the learning curve is steep, we tried to go for sensible sizes and shapes with the idea that if we invest now, we'll have a good time learning for some time to come. I found your podcast Tuesday and have already listened to a good 30 or more. I love the thorough nature of your treatment of this subject. Much of the details of what makes a good toy or harness came from you. We already have a lot going for us just from the info I got from your show, so a very heartfelt thank you. If you have any advice on the products I mentioned, both of us would be incredibly grateful. Again, thank you for your advice. Okay, so I do have some comments. You picked out some great stuff. The Sport Sheets Chantilly Lace Harness is great. I do recall, though, that the Sport Sheets Chantilly Lace Harness is not compatible with the double. So just so you know that, it will be good for the Tantus Curve. But let's go back to the harness. So you can find, for people listening, you can find the Sport Sheets is the red lace corset strap-on is what he's talking about. And it's called Chantilly Lace because it's the type of lace is Chantilly. So this is a decent beginner harness, absolutely. It does not have a hole for the double, though, so it is double incompatible. And it has a corset back. It's very, very pretty, so it's very feminine. So let's move on to the Tantus Curve. The Tantus Curve is a very pronounced curved dildo. So it has a really nice shape to it, but it is a firm toy. And because of the combination of the firm and the curve, it will definitely be a fair amount of pressure on your prostate. So think back to when you two were playing and how much pressure she had on your prostate with fingers or toys or whatever you were using. If it wasn't very much pressure and you had the reaction that you did, which was a pretty intense reaction, right, then this toy might be a little much for you. The other thing to consider about that dildo is that it has a matte surface. The two things that come with a matte surface are, number one, you'll have more sensation with it sliding in and out of you at the point of your anal sphincter. So you're going to feel that. It's going to be a little, well, it's not as slick. It's not as smooth. So it has a little bit of roughness going in and out. Roughness is too big of a word for that, because some men love the sensation of something sliding in and out. Just a little bit more sensation with a matte surface. So it reduces your lube window down to a stop, put the lube on now. And what I mean by that is when you're fucking away and you are the one getting fucked and you're like, oh, pretty soon she's going to need to pour more lube in there, right? And add more lube to the fucking formula because it's starting to feel a little bit not so good down there, right? That point comes quickly and immediately and you have a need for lube right then. It's not like, she can do this for a couple more minutes and then she really needs to add some more. So those two things are important to take into consideration. I think the most important one for you would be that it is a firm toy and it is pretty pronounced curve. I have that toy, and I have used it on men who have sensitive prostates, and it is a little too much for them sometimes. I believe one guy said, "This feels like I'm getting my insides rearranged." Now, I don't mean to dissuade anybody from that toy who really enjoys firm prostate pleasure, because I've also used it on men who enjoy really firm prostate pleasure, and oh my God, it sends them to the moon. It's the perfect toy for them. So suss that out with the two of you in your anal play and try and figure out how sensitive your prostate is. If she's just barely putting her fingers on it and you're having a through the moon orgasm, then with an out-of-body experience, then I don't think you really need the Tantus curve. I think maybe something a little slicker and maybe something less curved would do the trick. So that's my input. And you know, it's just a guess, but those are things to take into consideration when you get a toy like that. And there are so many considerations as well. It's great that you're shopping for it together. So talk about that, figure it out, maybe do some more anal play and try and figure out how sensitive you are. Other than that, your choices are all good. Those are excellent choices. They're great toys. Good harness. Yeah. So let us know when we can play the music. I love saying that. I love kind of sharing this right before it happens thing with you guys when you write in. I really enjoy that, because that anticipatory, you know, crossing over that line that life is never the same, your ass is never the same, your sexual relationship is never the same again. Everything changes after that. And hopefully it changes in a really, really wonderful way. I can almost guarantee that with you two, with that good of a start just with anal play. So yes, please let me know. So I will happily play the music for you. Thanks for writing in. Okay, this is actually a private message that I got on Facebook. Hello, dear Ruby. Hope you are fine. At first, I would like to thank you for being in the internet and for your lovely articles. I really like them. I have a problem, and I need your help if you can. My name is and I'm from Egypt, and I'm married for about 2 years. My wife and I are very excited about pegging, and we would like to start, but the main problem is we can't buy any sexy toys from here, plugs or strap-ons, etc. There are no sexy toys here, and we can't purchase these items from the internet. Can you help us if you have any friends who will be coming to Egypt soon? Can you come to Egypt as a vacation? I know my message is so weird and maybe funny, but I'm depressed and I don't know what I should do. Please, if you have any suggestions, guide me. Thanks so much. Oh my goodness, I got sad when I read this because, you know, here I am in Southern California, and attitudes about sexuality are much more open than many places in the country. There are other countries with areas of even more openness about sexuality over in Europe, but there are also places in the world where sexuality is still really, really hidden and shamey, and anything different from the norm is kind of forbidden. And apparently it is. I don't know that much about Egypt, but here's a guy writing me, talking to me about how they can't buy toys there. And so there's no way to really experience the whole pegging thing. Then I think what you're stuck with is a do-it-yourself thing. And really the do-it-yourself solutions can only go so far. And I'm not going to sit here and list down the things that you can substitute, right, for a good dildo and harness. But there are people out there who have been very creative in terms of finding things that they need. Remember the guy who was, where was he from? He and his partner had wooden ones that they carved, I think. So that was a new one on me. So there's ways that you can find substitutions. I would be very careful to advise you, though, if you do try any do-it-yourself type of items, that you use things that are anal safe, that have a flared base, hopefully, and you always put a condom on it, because if when you start sticking things in there that aren't good toys, you know, you run risks and things. But I wish I had a way to help you. You know, perhaps one of my listeners will be taking a trip to Egypt and is brave enough to go over there with a suitcase full of sex toys. I don't know. I would imagine that may be something that when you come into the country, they would frown upon. So I'm not even sure that that's an option. I imagine that people who do business and travel into Egypt on a frequent basis would have a better idea if that's even a possibility to include toys over there. And I wish that there was something I could do to help. The reason that I read this was mainly to just wake people up a little bit and let you all know that there are places in the world where they don't even have the freedoms to get the toys that we do. And here we are talking about which toys we're going to buy and which are the best. And there are people like this man and his wife who really want to explore this, and they don't have any options. So, not sure what we can do about that, but I sure hope places like that in this world change. I would have thought that the internet would be a place where you could get anything anywhere. And I know that that's probably naive. I know that there's countries that block out parts of the internet and censor things horrendously. So once again, I'm this sort of oblivious California, USA person who has all of the freedoms and all the rights to do as I please. So I wish I could help you, sir, but I at least wanted to read your message out loud on my podcast. So if anybody has any ideas about how we can help this guy and his wife, let me know and I will read it on the podcast and perhaps we can figure something out. Thanks for writing me, sir. I read your article on porn ruining pegging. I expected to disagree. After all, I found you due to a search for romantic pegging porn. I fully agree with you about all of the article except for the title. Maybe it's just me. I simply ignore all that negative part and enjoy the strap-on. Of course, I don't know how unique I am, but I wouldn't even be interested if I were getting it for real. I still get called names, but I let everyone know up front that I won't have a relationship without it. Good for you for letting everyone know that that's what you want. You know, the porn thing is interesting. I have a theory about that. I believe that when men watch porn, they're much more able to tune out all the parts that really don't fit what their desires are or their fantasies are and focus in on the part that is what they're looking for and what gets them off. I think, total generalization here, that women have less of an ability to do that. We see the whole picture, and so we don't focus right in on the strap-on and go, wow, that's totally fucking hot. We see everything else in the video as well. So if there's all kinds of the other stuff, it just really puts us off. And I'm sure there's women out there that view porn the way that men do, the way that I just described, right? But back to, you know, what the title is, the porn ruining the pegging part. You know, certainly porn doesn't ruin pegging for couples who have explored it and found it and are trying it out. It's mostly the situation where it's the beginning of things. He's interested. He wants to try it. And the only porn that's out there for either one of them to watch is the type that has all of the other kinks connected with it. There is not that much sensual pegging porn out there. So for those of you out there who really enjoy sensual pegging, of which there are quite a few, I'm sure, if the man has been watching pegging porn and he's able to completely tune all that out, the other stuff that he's not interested in, and just check out the strap-on stuff and get off on it, if he shares that porn with her, that's not how she's going to take it most of the time. She's going to see all the other stuff and go, whoa, is this what you want? And that's part of the reason that I did podcast number 112, is because there are so many things that are assumed to be connected to pegging that can be, but don't have to be. And those should be addressed in the beginning. Because when you come to your partner and say, hey, I want to try pegging with you, then a lot of stuff comes up in their head about what might be connected. And so it's really good to talk about those one by one and say, okay, not interested in this. I am interested in that. This intrigues me. I'm not really sure. And go through all of the usual connotations that are attached to pegging. But I appreciate you writing in and letting me know how you feel about it. And, you know, it's sad that you get called names, but I'm proud of you that you let anyone know up front that you won't have a relationship without it. I certainly do, but, you know, it's my life and I'm not a guy. So it takes more courage on your part to do that. Good for you. And here's another letter. The title of this is Interesting Experience. When do you feel like sex is dirty? Quote unquote. The other night, my wife wanted to explore a new vibrator she'd bought and suggested I just stay with her and take care of myself while she did the same. So I got out some vibrating prostate toys and was masturbating with them, but it wasn't quite working for me that night. So I got out the dildos that we use for pegging and inserted them myself, moving them back and forth. I was laying on my back, but decided to squat down on the dildo. I was getting very excited and wanted to come. So I'm bobbing up and down on the dildo, stroking my cock, when my wife suddenly opens her eyes. She'd been very focused on her new toy, and looks at me and moaned how seeing me made her very excited. I eventually had a nice orgasm. Later I was thinking about it, and it occurred to me that a description of what I was doing was stroking my cock with a dildo in my ass in front of another person. Of course, that person was also masturbating with a vibrator in her vagina, but that's beside the point. When I thought about it, I told my wife that was the first time I felt like I was doing something, quote, dirty, end quote. We've done a few things, anal pegging, light bondage and flogging, discreet sex in public places. That was all fun, but I never felt it was dirty. Not that we didn't both enjoy ourselves a lot and would do it again, but it was the first time I did something that to my mind made me feel dirty. Maybe it was the feeling I was sort of performing for someone who wasn't involved in pleasuring me or me her, but it was a different and fun experience. Wow. So, dirty. It depends on your definition of dirty, doesn't it? Because when you're saying dirty, I kept wanting to put in the word naughty. And those are two different things. But when you say it was a different and fun experience, that made me think that perhaps your definition of dirty was closer to my definition of naughty. Because, you know, dirty can be literal, which I'm clearly you didn't mean. But dirty can be like the taboo thing, and that taboo. See, if you replace the word taboo in there, then it is a sort of a ooh thing, you know? At least in my mind, if something is taboo, it's like, ooh, that's kind of exciting and potentially erotic, and I want to find out what this is about, right? So, and if you replace the word naughty in there, then it almost gives it a little bit of a fun feel to it. It's like, ooh, that was fun because we were being naughty. And if anybody saw us, they'd be like, ooh, you guys are so naughty. And that has more of a fun feel. But the dirty part, I don't know. Dirty to me really does have a negative connotation. So when I read I know what it is. It sounds judgmental. That's why. I can only picture that sort of coming out of someone else's mouth, like, oh my God, that's so dirty, right? And I can't picture the other words that way. Oh my God, that's so taboo. It's like, nah. Or even, that's so naughty. If someone said that, ooh, that's so naughty, that still has a fun feel to it. So anyway, get all caught up in my word dissection. Oh my God, I've parsed it out to the nth degree here. I am really glad that you had such a fun experience. I'm also thrilled that when she opened her eyes, she was so excited about what you were doing and that you felt that uninhibited, that you could just go for it and fuck yourself with her there. That's totally awesome. Thank you for sharing that and giving us those great visuals. And be dirty anytime you want. Okay, here we go. Okay, and our next one. This was an email. A real girl who is dying to peg her man, and he's not into it at all right now. Heart crush. I've been told by one person that I, quote, knew he was vanilla and low sex drive when I married him, end quote. Fair enough, but I'm 33 and he's 39 and it's 2016, and I just don't think there's a reason for anyone to have to be in a loveless, sexless marriage. Or maybe I am wrong. Full of self-doubt, except that I know I want a man that is at the very least a little more open to kinky sex, not even full pegging. He doesn't even satisfy my own wants, and we don't talk about it. We have a 4, almost 5-year-old, and that doesn't help either. But Hubs doesn't want sex. He turned down a no-strings-attached blowjob while sitting at his PC playing a video game. Part of me wonders if he would enjoy anal play, as it might get him more excited, and in my dream world, even make him want sex more. I very delicately began introducing external prostate massage to his blowjobs, and he loves it. Even though it's rare I get to blow him these days, once or twice I caught him pulling my hand back there as he came, silently begging for me to stimulate it so he could come harder. Damn, that was hot, just that little bit. I love anal play on me as well, but he really isn't into that much, and I have a lot of shame issues around it as well as pegging, due to a few effed up events in my past. So, lack of sex, satisfaction, boredom, plus my husband ignores me a lot. Now I'm thinking of looking for someone else to peg, but I don't want to cheat on my husband. So how do I get him more interested? Or how do I even ask him if I can peg someone else? What to do? So, if you read all this and have any thoughts, it would be amazing to hear back from you. I love your blog and it helped me finally understand myself a little more, though it seems a wife into pegging isn't as common. I know you don't have any more info about my marriage than what I've given you, so it's impossible to say definitively what would work, but suggestions and ideas or any thoughts would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. Ooh, honey, I feel so sad for you. I feel so sad for you partly because my second marriage, the end of it, was very sexless, and there is nothing that will make you feel more undesired and lack of self-confidence and awful than being with someone who just constantly doesn't want to have sex with you and you want to have sex with them. It's horrible. So I know how that feels, and it's really an awful situation to be in. So that's one of my first questions, is whether or not you two have mismatched libidos. And if that is the case, then that's a really important thing to acknowledge and to realize that it's never going to get any better than past a certain point. In your letter, basically, you were implying that pegging and anal play could be like the magic button that kind of turns him on and makes him enjoy sex more and want it more. Well, it's possible, I suppose. It's possible in a world where he has had that desire, but never ever been able to express it for whatever reasons he has. And all of a sudden, if he has that part of himself opened up, it could absolutely stimulate a resurgence in his interest in sexuality because he's finally able to be open about what he wants. He's finally getting the part of his body stimulated that he's been dreaming about for a long time, but been unable to ask and ashamed to ask. But that's a lot of ifs, you know. I don't know if that's the case. It does sound like good sign that when you give him a blowjob and you do the external prostate massage, that he loves it. So, there's so much here. I would recommend counseling. If that's at all a possibility, it would be really good if you two can talk about the sexual issue with an objective person, a professional who is sex positive. So you definitely want to make sure that you take pains to find someone who is sex positive. So if there's any other experimentation that you'd like to do, even if it's just the pegging, the last thing you want is to get in there and start talking about, you know, how you want to work on your sexual relationship. And then you talk about how you'd really like to strap a cock on and fuck him up the ass. And the counselor freaks out and says, okay, that's not okay. That's deviant or whatever. So you definitely want a sex positive counselor if you make it to the counseling, which I really hope that you do. So I'm going to give you a couple of resources for finding a sex positive therapist. One is called Kink Aware Professionals, and there's a directory, and it's more than just therapists. It does include other professionals as well. So that is one of them, and the other is ASECT. It's AASECT, and it stands for American Association of Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. So if you look down on the right-hand side on the front page, it'll say Locate a Professional. You will find both of those links in my Linkorama. Because this sounds like something that really needs to be talked out. Certainly, having a young child is a challenge to keep the sex going. But I'm not sure if you have sat him down and talked with him about how much you are desiring sex and how much you are missing it and how unsatisfied you feel. I'm not sure if you've left that to implications and moods and gestures or the unspoken sort of giving him the cold shoulder because you're not getting what you want type of thing, or if you have actively sat with him and talked with him about what appears to be, at this point at least, mismatched libidos. Your friend saying that to you makes me think that this lack of interest in sex is not a new thing. So that's that. So if that is the case, and if the little magic button anal play thing doesn't ever get any better, and he's not interested in it, then what you are left with is trying to figure out how to get your own needs met. And it's possible that if you have a conversation with him, or if you guys go to a counselor and say, you know, and he says, you know, look, I'm just not interested in sex that much. Well, then you have every right to try and insist that your needs be taken care of somewhere else. If he's not going to do anything to satisfy your needs, then you, in my opinion, have the right to ask for them to be fulfilled elsewhere. Now, that's a whole can of worms, because you use the word, I don't want to cheat on my husband. Okay, cheat implies that you two have a monogamous marriage, which is common. And this is the reason why people break their vows of monogamy, is because of reasons exactly like this. So to do it in a communicative and open way, it's not cheating. Basically to say, okay, look, you are not satisfying my sexual needs, and I need to get them met. So if you have no interest in helping me satisfy my sexual needs, then I would like to get them met elsewhere, and we need to talk about this. That's an option that could kickstart him into having sex with you a little more often, being a little bit more exploratory. Maybe, hopefully, if you do that, it would get him to the point where he was giving you enough sex to where you would be satisfied. But if not, and that's not something he's really interested in doing, then yeah, you guys need to have the talk about maybe opening the relationship up so that you can get your needs met elsewhere. Ooh, I feel for you, and I'm sad for you, and I just want to give you a big hug, you know, through the virtual space here that you're listening and I'm talking, because that's a very, very difficult position to be in. It's never a good idea to have those mismatched libidos and just kind of hope it's going to change, hope you can do something to make it change. So people who are out there who have the really low libidos, you have a responsibility when you get into a relationship to tell the person you're with that you are like that. It's a horrible thing to do, to kind of go through that initial having fun and having sex all the time, because that's the new relationship energy. It's a new body. It's new sex. It's fun. You have it all the time. But if you know you're someone who after a while has that low libido, it's a really honest thing to say that, because otherwise, you know, years down the line, here you are in a marriage or a long-term relationship like this, and the other person is just heart-crushed, like, oh, that, those two words are so evocative of that feeling. It's a heart-crush, it really is, of just sort of not being desired, and it's like, what can I do to get this man interested? Good grief, it sounds like you're doing everything you can, and then some. The blowjob while he's playing a video game. So, yes. You people out there with the very low libidos, you must tell your partner, because it's really an unkind thing to do, to not let them know that this is how you are. And for everybody else out there that's kind of dating and cruising around, or maybe trying to make a decision about whether this partner's the right one, pay attention to those libidos. Oh my God. That's why I love that question on OkCupid. You know, in an ideal relationship, how often would you have sex with your partner? That's an awesome question to take a look at. I put every other day. And occasionally I'll find guys who have written me messages who say every single day, or once or twice a week, or a couple times a month. I think those are the four choices. I'm not sure if that last month one is on there, but the point is, it's nice if they match, people, because if not, then you end up with a situation like this poor young lady. So good luck to you, and let us know how it goes, and I've got my fingers crossed for you. Thanks for sharing your story, and I hope I was of some help, if for no other reason than sending you that hug. Hang in there, honey. And this is just a short little email that I got. I wonder how to broach the subject to my girlfriend. How could I drop a hint or two without outright asking? Oh, goodness, here is another man who is having a hard time asking. And I'm sure there's a part of you that wants to ask her, because this is something you really want her to get interested in, because clearly you're writing me a letter, so you want to get pegged. but it's embarrassing, or you have some shame about it, or you're scared that she's going to reject you. All of these different fear-based things that make it a super scary conversation, right? All you can do, sir, all you can do is just take a deep breath and ask for what you want. But also keep in mind that when you do have this conversation with her, do not present it like it's a horrible disease like leukemia and you're confessing that you have this horrible disease. Do it in a way that expresses your excitement about exploring this part of your body. And the way that I suggest to most people, most guys, is to kind of start off with saying, so, you know how like G-spot orgasms for women are capable of giving them orgasms that are totally different and longer and more intense than clitoral orgasms? Well, I found out that actually guys can do the same thing, but it's in their ass, and I'm totally excited about it, and I want to explore it. Because the more reading I did about it, and the more I looked at it and read about it on the internet, the more I found out that the orgasms that men can have with anal stimulation because of the prostate are just through the roof, like 10 times as powerful as a normal orgasm, right? Just go off and start talking about how you're really excited to explore this because it could be a potentially totally awesome thing for you. She doesn't even need to know that maybe you've self-experimented. If you have, you don't need to talk about that. You can just say, I really want to explore this with you. Are you down? Because this sounds really fun. See, so if you approach it like that, as opposed to this sort of hide your eyes, shamey sort of, oh my God, I found out that actually when you stick something in my ass, there's a lot of pleasure there. Right? Don't go there. Just take a deep breath and practice the fucking speech if you have to, okay? Just practice the speech. But that is all verbal communication right with your partner, right? The other option that you have is to say, you know what? There's something really cool that I think I want to explore with you. And basically, it's strap-on sex. But you know what? Before we sit down and talk about all about it, why don't you listen to this podcast and send her to podcast number 112? Because that will pave the way. And if she goes, well, wait a minute, you want what? And you can repeat yourself and say, yeah, well, strap on sex, basically. But before we talk about it, please listen to this podcast and then see, it's going to give you a lot of information. So then you're going to have to sit and talk about it and see how you feel about it. Those are your two options. That is how you broach the subject to your girlfriend. Let us know how it goes. Let us know when we can play that music for you. And we're going to leave it there. We are done with this podcast. There are links on my blog for you to follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. On Facebook, my page gets a thrill every time it gets a new like, and you guys are thrilling the crap out of me. Holy moly. Lots of likes. Thank you. You can also subscribe to my blog there. There are links. And the blog gets stuff that never comes out on the podcast. The blog gets the erotic stories. The blog gets the really erotic pictures. Oh my God. I love picking out those pictures, cruising all over the internet and the different Tumblr sites and stuff and finding some way cool erotic pictures for you guys to look at. So you can subscribe to my blog there as well. This podcast is available on iTunes, or you can use the whole slew of podcast downloader apps to have it sent directly to your smartphone, or it can be streamed directly right from my blog at pagingparadise.com. When you check out the products that I talk about in the podcast by following the links on my Linkorama, remember that purchasing through enticeme.com not only guarantees that you will have the highest quality body-safe non-toxic pleasure products, you'll support my work here at Pegging Paradise as well. Don't forget to use the coupon code, please, Ruby, for 20% off. And don't forget about visiting that forum, because the forum is up and running. I'm going to put it's silly to put a link to, I was just going to say, I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama to the forum. Okay, so you can click the link down in the Linkorama, or you can click the link up to the left that says forum. All you have to do is get to my website and look to the upper left, and there's a link there that says forum. That will take you there. And if you forgot how to register, go back and listen to the very beginning of this podcast, or there is a blog post. That's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama, not to the forums, but I'm going to link you to the blog post that gives you step-by-step instructions of exactly how to register and how to do the whole deal, because that is what you need to know before you start posting. That's the only way you can post, is to register. But please do check it out. I'm kind of excited. I'm not kind of excited. I'm really excited that I have forums. It's just a thrill. So please call me at 805-500-6544. With your questions, your comments, your stories, your successes, your wonderings, your fears, and your adventures. Or you're going to write all that stuff down and send it to me, ruby@peggingparadise.com. Thank you for downloading and listening. You're all the best. Happy pegging.